We have been in a on prayer with essentially Saddleback's 40-day of prayer. Huh. 40 days of prayer. And after 40 days, do you want to quit? No. That's great. It's brilliant. No, after 40 days, you want to make it 40 years of prayer. And we hope that's exactly what you do. And maybe 40 generations of prayers, right? That starts with these 40 days. But thank you. And we thank God. So important. So important. Connecting with Him is so important. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, Jesus is talking to his disciples about prayer, faith in God. He answered them, it says in verse 22, Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, believes that what he says will indeed come to pass, it will be done for him. And therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Interesting. And incredibly dynamic. Now, I believe that the most amazing part of that passage is not the throwing mountains into the sea by our mere saying it or believing that it is possible, as amazing as, of course, that is. But I believe that the most amazing part of this passage is found in verse 24. Verse 24. "Therefore, I tell you," again, Jesus is speaking, "whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Now, it sounds like a bunch of New Age gobbledygook, right? But it's Jesus, right? And he actually says, whatever we ask in prayer, believe, now notice that's present tense, that we have received it, past tense, and we will receive it, future tense. We have a trinity of tenses here, don't we? Interestingly enough. Now think about it. Jesus is telling us that we've got to believe it in order to get it. And that's what sounds like the New Age junk. But it's Jesus who's saying it. It sounds like faith to me. It sounds like faith. It sounds like breakthrough faith, actually. A good definition of breakthrough faith. Do you believe that God has already essentially done what it is that we are going to ask? It's an amazing concept. And yes, it will break through a lot of your prayers, break through a lot of your indecision that you have as far as prayer is concerned, a lot of your lack of knowledge about prayer itself and just how important it really is and how it works. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe." Believe what? That He is. Believe that He exists. First and foremost, believe that He exists and that all that's actually said about Him in the Bible is true. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient, right? He is all-knowing. He does know the things that we need before we know them. He knew us prior to our birth, prior to creating us. And that He does reward those who do seek Him. That's breakthrough faith. That is breakthrough faith. Understanding those concepts about God and actually applying those concepts to our lives. Breakthrough faith is not something that we just sit around and wait for. It's actually God waiting on us to to respond. He's waiting on us to respond in obedience to what he has already done. And then commands us to accomplish, possibly for him. It's what he has already promised. It's what he's already commanded. It's what he's already done. And it goes with that thought process that, yes, God is not going to ask you to do anything that, and not empower you then to do it as well, right? And quite possibly already has. Many, or perhaps even most of us, facing impossible situations where we need a breakthrough in our lives, get stymied by it. And it's amazing break in our faith, or a breakthrough in our faith, when all of a sudden we do see God work, right? We do see the Holy Spirit do something through us into the lives of someone else. How many of you had that feeling? I imagine a lot of you have, just not willing to say that we have. But it is amazing, because you can actually say to yourself or to others, hey, that wasn't me. I know that wasn't me. Well, then who was it? Well, that was God working in me. That was his Holy Spirit. And that's an amazing fact for you to realize. That's an astounding fact. That's a breakthrough realization right there. God is working not just in me and on me, but he wants to work through me into the lives of others, and I've just experienced it. That means he's there. That means his Holy Spirit is there. What does that mean for me then? If the Holy Spirit is there, that means I am what? I'm saved by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit is the seal unto salvation, correct? And if we realize that fact, that we are indeed sealed in our salvation, we do indeed have God within, what does that do to your faith? And then when you see him work again and again and again, that is maturing in faith. That is bound to also draw you closer to him, isn't it? And mature your relationship. Breakthrough faith happens when we begin to fully trust God. Not just to trust God, but to fully trust God. And to trust in what he has already done for us, and to move, to act towards that, against the barriers in our lives. Breakthrough happens when we say that we're going to trust that God is going to supernaturally, that God is going to miraculously do the impossible in our lives. We're going to trust that that actually happens. We have to believe in God. We have to believe in his goodness. But we also have to believe that he's already willed the breakthrough for our lives. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he wants the best for you? Well, I hope so. Why would he send his son if he didn't, right? Why would he send his son to die on the cross if he did not want the best for us? He sent the best to us. But when we do actually believe those things, we actually become agents of breakthrough. And not just for us, but for others as well. Agents who unleash God's supernatural power to change the impossible situations in our relationships, whether they be at home, whether they be at work, whether they be in the community, and to change our community and our country, to change our churches. In Mark chapter 6, we read that Jesus sends out his disciples, right? He sends them out in twos. He sends them out to preach the gospel. He sends them out to cast out demons. He sends them out to heal people just like I do, he says. Just as Jesus did. Knowing that they could do it. And why did Jesus know that they could do that? Because he knew the Father had already empowered them to do that, right? He knew the Father had sent the Spirit to them at this point in time to be able to do those things, had empowered them. And to their surprise, they went out and what? They did it. And they came back and they're totally surprised that they were able to do these things. And I keep asking, why are we so surprised? Is it because we really truly didn't believe? Probably. Later in the story, Jesus is teaching to a crowd, big crowd, over 5,000 people in the crowd. And his disciples say to him, essentially, this is a remote place. I mean, we're way out in the desert and it's already pretty late. You got a huge crowd here and absolutely nothing. The stores are way back there and they probably will be inundated anyway, well over capacity. So send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside, the villages, and buy themselves or find themselves something to eat. But what did Jesus say to them? You do it. You feed them. And you think they would have said, aha, just like we were able to cast out demons and we were able to preach the gospel. Yeah, okay.
We can do it.
But is that what they said? No, they didn't get it, did they? They didn't get it. You can see in the last verse. He asks the disciples to do the impossible, and yet they don't believe. He asks them to break through, even after they've had little mini and yet they still don't believe. And so he shows them again. What does he do? He finds the fish, he finds the bread, or they find it for him, bring it to him, and he prays. In expectation, in anticipation of what God is going to do. And God does it, does he not? Jesus expects his disciples to feed the crowd, even though it was impossible for them. Yes, it's impossible for you to do so. You're absolutely right. But who is it not impossible for? For God. And what I'm asking you to do is not you feed them. Will feed them through you, thereby also feeding you spiritually, big time. Big time. Jesus expects us to take on the impossible in our own lives, knowing that it's not us who's doing it. Get out of the way and let God break through, right? Let God. Possible things, not just in us, but through us into his world. Yes, God does the breakthrough. But as was said last week, he's waiting for us to act in faith, to actualize it. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to move anymore. I'm not going to act anymore without first covering my steps in prayer. Without first believing and letting him know that I do believe that he will provide the breakthrough. Now, what we do in breakthrough prayer, what is it that we do in breakthrough prayer? There, I'm going to borrow from Rick Warren his five steps in breakthrough prayer. The five steps that he says need to be in breakthrough prayer. And the first one, we need to focus on who? Ourselves? No. We need to focus on our problems? No. But that's what needs to break through. We need to break through them, right? So shouldn't we focus on them? No, or you'll never break through them. If they become the object of your focus, who do we need to focus on? God. God, the one that's going to do the breaking through, the one that's going to do the impossible. We need to focus on God, not our problems. When we're in a crisis, we naturally pray, God, we're in a crisis, as if we're telling him something that he doesn't know. It's really kind of interesting to listen to ourselves. Tape yourself as you pray sometime. Fascinating. We start telling God all about it as if, again, he doesn't know. He's not omniscient. He knew long before we did. He knew before we were even born. He knew that crisis would happen in our life. That specific crisis would happen in our life. We don't start praying by telling God what the crisis is. We start by focusing on him and who he is. Giving him praise. Reminding ourselves of his greatness, of his unlimited power. We remind God of his promises as well. He likes to be reminded. Because what does that show? That shows that we know it. That shows that we know what he has said. He likes that. He likes to see that we actually understand. God, didn't you promise to help us? Didn't you promise to take care of us? Didn't you promise to meet our needs? It leads us to a truth. God loves to have his word quoted back to him. He loves to have his word quoted back to him. He finds nothing wrong with that at all. It actually pleases him because it means we're in his word, right? The more, the merrier. God, we need to say, God, look, you said it right here, in this book, you said, see? He smiles when we do that. I'm your child, and Father, you said that you would do this. That's part of the breakthrough prayer. And so, God, we're going to pray for your help because I need your help. I'm asking you to keep your promise. And then finally, while we're at it, ask him for that breakthrough. Ask him for the impossible. He loves it. Secondly, admit to God. Tell God, we can't do it. We can't do it. But we know you can. We tell God, we can't do this. It's impossible for us. It's impossible for mere mortals. We're powerless. We're hopeless. Helpless, and so we need you to do this for us. We need you to do this in our lives. And we're going to be willing to allow you to do this in our lives. This second step, number two, is just what makes breakthrough prayers different from all other prayers. For when we say, God, we need your help, it really means we still think we can do it. But when we say, God, we can't do it, you need to, and get the we out of there, it makes all the significant difference in the world. To whom? To God? To us. And our allowance, our allowing him. But when we pray a true breakthrough prayer, we say, God, we can't possibly do this. It's beyond our control. We need you. Only you can do this. And we say it because we really mean it. We truly feel powerless because we fully realize that we are powerless. And also, this is the first step in Celebrate Recovery. It's the first step in Lifeline. It's the first step in the 12 steps. Realize you're powerless, right? If we truly think about it, we realize that most of the big things in our lives we can't really do anything about, even though we try so hard and we spend majority of our energy, majority of our time on those things. We can't do anything about them. And that's exactly why breakthrough prayer is such a necessity. This is the power of realized powerlessness. For what do we do when we're in a situation that we cannot control, we cannot change, we cannot manage? We wait. And we trust. And who is it we wait on? Who is it we trust in? Not ourselves. Sometimes faith means doing nothing. It means waiting. Waiting and trusting. And waiting and trusting needs to happen before we can take this third step in breakthrough prayer. Listening to what God is actually telling us, right? We need to wait. We need to have patience. We need to talk. And we need to listen. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is not monologue. Prayer is not doing all the talking. We need to have conversations with God, and conversations include listening. If both people aren't talking, it's not conversation. It's monologue, right? You need to have conversation. And you know what happens when you allow more conversation in your prayer? Who is it that ends up talking more? God. And that's what you want. That's what we need. He ends up telling us exactly what we need, exactly what he would desire us to do, what is our purpose and his plan. We can't build relationship, we can't build friendship with God if we never let God do the talking, if we never allow God any input, right? A lot of times he talks through this, doesn't he? A lot of times in our prayers, if we pray through his word, it's amazing. It's amazing how he converses with us. It's amazing what he tells us. Everything God wants to say to us, he has already put here in his word. His will is in his word. And the more we read this book, the more we're going to know what to do. We're going to know how he desires us to do it. Read it here. Discuss it with him. It's amazing. Going to deliver ourselves, we're going to ask him to deliver it. We know what he says to most of our troubles. He says, the trouble is not yours. The trouble is whose? Mine. It's my trouble, not yours. And that's right, because the battle is not ours. The battle is whose? It's his. And we have to confirm that. Number one, to ourselves. By affirming it to him. He will deliver us. He'll actually say, and I've heard him say this before, relax. It wasn't chill, it was relax. Relax, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, just relax. It's my battle. It's not your battle. You're taking on too much. I didn't ask you to take that. So stop it. Stop it. Keep serving in your position and wait. Wait on me, trust in me, and watch me break through. Amen? That big problem in your life, it's my battle. Stand firm, stay in your position, wait and watch what I do. Now, that is the strangest battle in my history. Because I like engaging in battles. And he's telling me, don't. Please, don't. All you do is mess it up and make it worse. Worse for who? Worse for you. Just let me take care of it. And this leads to the fourth of the five steps that we do in breakthrough prayer. We thank God in advance for his answer. Thank God in advance for his breakthrough. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The perfect step for this time of year is thanking God, is it not? What, with the holiday that's coming up, we celebrate in a couple of weeks. It means we probably are going to hear a lot of sermons on attitude of gratitude, but let's start now. It's exactly what we need to have when it comes to this breakthrough prayer time. It's true that living with an attitude of thanksgiving begins by what we set our focus on, right? Which means we go back to step number one. We focus not on our problems. It's hard to be thankful when we focus on our problem. We focus on who? On God. And we take the other steps and realize God is going to be the one that is going to take care of me in this situation. And living with an attitude of thanksgiving means we understand that and we thank him then for being the God that is going to take care of it as he has promised. You're not going to tell him and remind him about his promises and then you really don't believe in them or you kind of forget about them. No. Carry on. Stay steadfast, stay strong. The question becomes, do we want more problems or more battles or do we want more blessings, essentially, right? When we're truly living with an attitude of thanksgiving, we don't just thank God for what he did in the past. We don't thank for what he did today. We can thank him for what he is going to do in the future. Amen? We're thankful that he's going to open new doors. We're thankful that he's going to increase us. We're thankful that he's going to bring the right people into our lives. When we thank God in advance, it's a declaration of faith. It is a declaration of faith. Our thanks is saying, God, we're so sure of your goodness. We're so sure of your greatness. We're so sure that you're working in our lives. And we're going to thank you right now for what you're going to do tomorrow. Because you can see it happening now. You have already ordered it to happen. We need to always remember the truth. Faith pleases God. Faith is what opens the door for His promises. What opens the door for us to see a lot of times.
We don't see it working
because we look right over it. And faith also says thank you. And so let's thank God for what He has done, for what He is doing, but let's also thank Him for what He will do in our future. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, 1 Chronicles 16, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures, how long? Till today? Forever. Do you trust that? Say that verse with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. Forever. We thank God in advance for His answer. And the final step is we expect God to make problems painless and to turn battles into blessings. Expect that He's going to work. How do we know when our breakthrough prayers have been answered? When we've had a breakthrough? Okay. We'll know because we'll realize it wasn't us who did it, right? We'll realize it was God working on our behalf. We'll realize that we actually have acted in faith. And we will allow God then to do what He desires to do the impossible in our lives. There's three ways of knowing that we have had a breakthrough. Number one, we've known we've had a breakthrough and there's more blessings than we can handle. And a lot of that, again, is you seeing the blessings because they're there. And many times we miss them because we haven't formatted ourselves purposely, or we haven't formatted ourselves the right way to be able to see them. We haven't opened our spiritual eyes. We're still looking through our physical eyes. And we miss God working. Secondly, we know we've had a breakthrough if we love God more and want to worship Him more. It sounds like a cop-out. But when you know that God is God, and you know Him more as God, and I mean fully God, and you draw closer to Him, and you realize that, yes, He is God in your life in more ways than just being, but also in acting, and you realize that He has a lot more control in your life than you had realized before, and you give Him even more control, are you going to love Him more, do you think? Yes, and why? Because you're going to allow yourself to feel His love more. We love because what? Yeah, and so it's one of those kind of things where if you love or if you feel more and more of God's love, you're capable of loving more and more. It's interesting in that first scripture that we read that Jesus is explaining to His disciples. He says, oh, and by the way, forgive. So what? So that your Father can forgive you. And if you forgive more, you, interestingly, are forgiven. It's weird, yes, but it's truth. But it's truth. And the closer we are to God, the more we understand His love, the more we see that He is caring for us, that He loves us, and He's not going to let bad things happen or tear us apart. He may allow some things to happen for our growth, right? But He's got control of it, lovingly. Then yes, we are going to love Him more. We're going to love others more as well. Ta-da! It's amazing how that works. Number three, we know that we've had a breakthrough when other unbelievers start noticing these things in our lives. Not just unbelievers. Believers will notice them, obviously, as well. But when unbelievers notice them, and they ask us about that, and we then say, hey, it's not us, it's whom? It's all God. Who's honored? Is it us? It's God. Right? It's God. What's going on in her life? And look at her. She's got something, some kind of blessing. She's got the favor of God in her life. And I mean, her family has the same problems our family does. She has the same problems. But look, they handle it entirely differently. I want that. And I want that for our family, for my family. All believers take notice when we have a breakthrough in our lives. It's a witness to unbelievers. It's a witness to people who don't know God's goodness yet, who don't know his power yet. It is a testimony, a powerful part of our story, the part in which God gets the honor, the rightful place. Yes, we get blessed, but God gets the honor, right? In Daniel chapter 10, we have a great Old Testament example of a lot of this happening, of this breakthrough stuff happening. Daniel's been praying. He's been fasting selectively for 21 days to receive a breakthrough revelation to a vision that he's had. He's had a vision, but he doesn't fully understand it. And so he's been praying for an answer, a revelation, an interpretation to his vision. And who is he praying to? Obviously, to God. And an angelic being, an angel, finally shows up with an answer to his prayer, miraculously. And this messenger says, interestingly enough, that he's been trying to get to Daniel for 21 days. What's been stopping him? He's been detained by the prince of the kingdom of Persia, who's metaphorically a title for whom? For Satan, right? And the forces of evil. And he was able to defend against them with the help of another angel. Just happens to be an archangel whose name is Michael. Michael came and actually helped him. And so he is able to conquer Satan, or to break away from him, and actually come to Daniel with the answer, with the breakthrough answer. Now think about that as you're praying. Think about what's happening behind the scenes. Breakthrough is a military term as well. It's what happens when there's a kind of an impasse going on, then all of a sudden, boom, something happens that there can be a breakthrough in the lines, etc. But think about what happens. Here we see that God clearly wants us to know that there is more going on spiritually than we see with our physical eyes. But he also reveals to us a truth. When God moves, who also moves? Who counter moves? Who responds? Satan. So yes, as you go into breakthrough prayer, and I imagine many of you have felt this over this last time that we have been praying, over our 40 days. Have you felt a little more oppression? Have you felt some opposition? Well, I expect that you will if you haven't. If you haven't, well, maybe pray a little harder. Because when God moves, Satan counter moves. Now, it doesn't matter, because God is not going to, or Satan's not going to overpower God. I'm sorry. And I don't like the idea, even that some of these slides up here show, that there's kind of a almost equal battle going on between evil, between darkness and light. What I like is, again, you know, the light switch thing. And that if you throw that light switch, is there a 5-minute battle between light and dark in your room when you do that? No, what happens? Boom, light. Yeah, well, that's how it is. God is creator. Satan is creation. It's not even close. The battle is not even close. Most of his wins are through deception, right? Through deceiving us. And if we stand in the truth of what's really happening, then yeah, we don't have to worry about it. Then we have to learn how to throw that light switch, have the power of God in our lives, and allow it to clean all the darkness out. That's a better indication of what's happening. Why does Satan move? If we look at some of the war texts, like this one in Daniel, and we look at Ephesians chapter 6, you know, where you put on all the armor, yeah, but they're telling us we have to understand what's happening behind the scenes. There is a battle going on. God is invading what Satan considers to be his territory. Satan claims each and every one of us. We like to think God claims us. Well, yes, that's true too. But now you see the true battle of what goes on in the choices that you make. Whose side you all of a sudden end up being placed on at that point in time. In your thought process. So yes, these concepts are important when we talk about the steps of breakthrough prayer. Opposition always precedes strategic breakthroughs. Expect opposition. As you're praying for a breakthrough, expect opposition. Don't let it deter you at all. Anticipate it. If you're like me, that's the fun part. Seeing what God's going to do that way, right? If we're not encountering opposition, then it's likely we're not attacking a strategic location. But if we are, don't lose heart, because we're on to something. Obviously, we're on to something. Pray more about that particular area. Where the enemy is fortifying his forces is where we must focus our assaults, right? So this is another call for holy determination. Let's keep praying. Let's not lose heart. Real breakthroughs are not realized without prayer. Prayer is vital to weaken our opposition, the opposition. Strategic ground is not yielded easily, and you are strategic ground. Maybe more than we know, but we'll not lose heart because we're going to focus on whom? Not on Satan and our problems. We're going to focus on God and who God truly is as creator. We will grow determined knowing that, as John says in 1 John 4, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Or as John reminds us in John chapter 16, Jesus Christ has already what? Again, it's already done. The victory is ours. Let's claim the victory. Faith, let's claim the breakthrough. And then see, through prayer, be assured you have a breakthrough ahead. Be ready. Amen. Father, we thank you again. You are just incredible in what you have done for us through your Son Jesus. What you have done through us or in us through your Holy Spirit. What you want to do us through your Holy Spirit. And so help us, Lord, to take that relationship with you more seriously. To make it the primary thing in our lives. Boy, this church, any church, the church itself will be so much more what you designed it to be, so much more powerful, the power that you designed it to be, if each one in the church took their relationship with you seriously and then came together. And Lord, that's what we desire to see, you working that power, not just in us, but through us into this world that so desperately needs it. And so help us, Lord. Help us to spend and teach us, Lord, in that time. Help us to listen to you and help us to find out more and more who you are and apply the power that you have. We pray it all in the precious name of he who understood and did it perfectly, your Son Jesus. Amen.